Good morning. Appreciate your prayers this morning. Thankful for the family of God today. Just in the service this morning, the prayer request and the concern we have for each other, it was just kept coming to me. I'm thankful for the family of God today. It's what it's supposed to be, a family. And we're supposed to take care of each other. And I see that happening here in the congregation, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the love we have for each other today. And have just a very simple thought that the Lord gave me a couple weeks ago. He woke me up with it. I'd like to just start in Matthew 5 and 6. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And these are all promises, these are declarations that Jesus gave us here, that if we are hungry and thirsty, we will be filled. And, you know, I want God's righteousness fulfilled in my life. I want it revealed in my life. That's what I want to hunger and thirst for. And when we're hungry and thirsty for something, it's something that we desire. That's what we think of. That's what we want first and foremost in our life. I think of Jacob and Esau. Esau was hungry. That's all he could think of. And he sold what was dearest to him to be able to get that thing that he wanted because he was so hungry. He did it foolishly for that reason. But you know, when we can apply that spiritually, that we will do anything to be able to feed from God's Word, He will fill that need that we have. And to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness is not just a need to fulfill something in us. It is very much that, but it's also a need to have His righteousness revealed and fulfilled in our life by other people seeing that we're eating well. You know, we can have a desire to know God, and that's really good. I think of the Roman Catholic monks and some of them. They want to do away with every external pressure to be able to just get God to speak to them and be connected. And it's a very unrealistic lifestyle for most of us. We cannot just put our children away, put our work away, put all these things away, and then we will be able to have God's righteousness and we can really feed. But, you know, the Lord wants us to be able to feed on Him in the middle of life. When we're very busy, when there's pressure all around us, we can still hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what good is it if we just eat of God's Word, but we're never able to fulfill from the strength of His Word and His food? There's a blessing in being able to eat from God's Word and then also to share God's Word. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." That was part of His hungering and thirsting, was to do the will of God. And it really goes against the idea of our flesh. We think we want to eat and it's all taking in. But Jesus said, no, it's Him doing the will of God is how He eats. And so when we say hunger and thirst after righteousness, what does that mean to us today? It is really to hunger and thirst after God's righteousness revealed and replicated in this life. So, when someone is hungry and thirsty for something, the devil has a really hard time of getting to them because they're feeding on the right things. And when we're simply feeding on the right things, the devil can't get in there. But if our appetite is to the world or to the lust of our flesh, then the devil has all kinds of lures that look really good and he can hook us. But you know, when we're hungry and thirsty for the right thing, we will be filled. That is God's promise to us today. I was thinking of fishing, sometimes when you're in a pond that's overstocked, those fish will bite at anything. They're hungry. You can throw in, I've caught them on a bear hook sometimes, just throw it in and they'll grab it. Well, you know, that's someone that's hungry and thirsty, but we have to be careful that we're feeding on the right thing. We can't just grab anything because Satan has a lot of lures out there. But when we're connected to the Word, we will be eating the right things, and the Lord can reveal those things to us. When we're hungry and thirsty for things that are not righteousness, there's plenty to eat out there. There's a lot of junk food out there. And when we eat junk food, what happens? It's revealed in our bodies. And it just happens. We eat too much of this food that's not good for us, and there will be consequences in many different ways. And I was thinking of the young man, the prodigal son. He went out, and we think of him eating the horrible food was the husks. But that was the product of him eating the junk food before he got to the husks. And that's where we have a hard time sometimes, is because the world looks so appealing. The food of the world looks so appetizing and so enjoyable that our appetite starts turning a little bit from what God wants us to do, and we start looking at the pleasure of life. And that is where the real danger is where the food actually looks pretty good, and it's not. And so the prodigal son, yes, we feel sorry for him when he was eating those husks. That's a horrible thing to eat when you're hungry. But it's also a horrible thing to eat when he was enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, because that is what it produced. And so when we eat the lust of our flesh and the pride of our mind and all these things, this is what it's going to produce in the end. And so God's appetite, His Word, does not produce that, does it? In Matthew 6 and 25, there's a few scriptures here I want to read. Matthew 6, 25 through 33. Therefore I say unto you, well, before I read this, we all have things in life that we worry about, that we struggle through sometimes, and we just have life to deal with. We have bills to pay. We have mouths to feed. And thinking of this scripture, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I think of the scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Yes. When we seek the Lord and His righteousness, we will be filled. And so we'll be filled with the righteousness of God, but we'll also be filled with what we need in life. It goes along with the verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All what things? All the things that we're fixing to read about here in this scripture. So, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As I was praying last night, I was starting to worry a little bit about how we were going to live life, make ends meet sometimes. We all have that. And I kept waking up through the night and all these things just going through my mind. The pressures of life. You put your pressures in that place. But every time I woke up, it was like the scripture was just fighting. There was like a fight in my mind. I woke up probably a dozen times and this happened, where I started trying to put all the puzzle pieces together and make it fit in my mind. And every time my mind started going that way, the scripture like fought against it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. So Jesus said, look, I understand very well how you feel. I understand how I made your body, how you crave food, how you crave to be clothed and trying to figure all these things out. But he said, take no thought. Don't worry. Don't let those things overcome you to where you can't fulfill what God wants you to fulfill. And he says, take some examples. Look at the birds of the air. The Lord takes care of you just like that when we place ourselves in his hand. Which of you can add to his stature? That seems like a pretty big thing. But yet, the Lord, if we can't do this thing that's really big in our mind, the Lord says, that's small compared to what I can do. That's what he's trying to get to us here. He said, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. And he said, even Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed like one of these. That is something that we just have to say, Lord, I want to be hungry and thirsty for your righteousness. I don't want to, my appetite in life. Now, I'm not just talking about fleshly things, but I'm talking about normal things in life that can just overcome us. Not sinful, carnal things, but life in general can even weigh into our minds to where we cannot get the voice of God and really have his righteousness revealed in our lives. But he said, even those things that are life in general, don't worry about those things. Seek me first. Hunger and thirst after these things. Don't hunger and thirst after the things that the Gentiles seek. He said the Gentiles, they're the ones that seek after these things. It's normal to seek after these things. But he says your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He already knows it. We can commit it to him today. And so in my battle through the night and in this morning, it was like my mind was operating normally, but God was saying, no, don't worry about those things. Just seek me first. Have your righteousness revealed in my life first, Lord. You know, it's something very opposite to what we think, that the Gentiles think, that those who are not ordered and anointed by the Lord, we just think this way. This is the way we were made. But the Lord wants us to commit our way to him, to trust in him, and he'll bring those things to pass that he needs to bring to pass. You know, I thought it was interesting in the Lord's Prayer, just over here in the same chapter, Matthew 6, 9 through 11, Jesus prayed, and he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He put the will of God ahead of, give us this day our daily bread. I don't know if there's much significance, but I feel like it is part of the significance of what we're talking about today. is, Lord, first, I want to do your will. Let your will be done in my life. And then you'll take care of me. That's the equation that always happens. You give to God first, he will take care of you. And so just in this way, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. How often is it that we pray and say, Lord, thank you for the day. Now, I need this, 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 this. It's very easy to have our needs top of mind when we pray to God. But Jesus taught his disciples to pray when he says, no, Lord, I'm going to put you on this pedestal and put you up here, and I want you to work in my life. I want your will revealed in my life first, and then give us this day our daily bread. Take care of our needs, and the Lord will do that for us. Very hard to let go and let God sometimes, but it's where we get the true joy of life. In Mark 6 and 34, I want to just read this story a little bit. We know this story very well. Thinking about doing the will of God as part of our food and our nourishment, these disciples came to Jesus. Well, no, Jesus told them. Anyway, in 34, let's read it. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Yes. So here the disciples wanted him to send them away so that they could get food. In another story in John where it tells the story, I think Jesus is the one that's asking. He's saying, what can we do to give these people bread? But here the disciples had asked Jesus to send them away. And Jesus answered and said, give you them to eat. Yes. And the disciples, obviously they didn't have any food themselves, which is partly why they wanted to get them away. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And they knew, and they say, 5 and 2 fishes. So in another place it said, but what are they of so many? Obviously the disciples did not have food to give. And here they found 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they said, well, here's this, but what is that among so many people? You know, even if the disciples would have said, well, all right, here this boy gave us these 5 loaves and 2 fish, maybe we can, if we send these people away, we can at least have a little bit to stave off the hunger. They were thinking of themselves here first. And Jesus said, give you them to eat. How in the world are we going to eat, Jesus? All we have is just these 5 loaves and 2 fish. Or maybe we didn't have anything at this point. How are we going to feed people when we have nothing to give? But yet he said it because he wanted to teach them a lesson that if you really want to eat, you're going to have to give. And so many times the law of God runs counter to the law of flesh. And when Jesus said, give you them to eat, it ran very counter to their flesh. But yet, Jesus wanted to prove to them that he was able to work something so far beyond their imagination that not only did they eat, they all ate. All the men ate. Plus the disciples, and they had food left over. And that's the way it is in our life. If we truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, there will be times in our life that we just feel like we have nothing to give. We need to be the ones that are fed. And the Lord says, listen, go the extra mile here. You will be fed. How many times is that true in our life? When we give where we don't think we have anything to give, and we are so blessed by it. I've seen that so many times. You know, you fill in the blank with your own story. I don't think I need to make a story to make that realized in your life. But I've heard lots of stories from my grandma and different ones on the mission field where they just didn't have anything, and yet they shared. Or maybe it was something where it was just your time, and you felt like you didn't have any more time to give, and yet someone needed that time, and you gave your time, and they were very blessed, but in the process, you were very blessed too. You were fed because you gave. And this is the principle that Jesus was giving them. You want to be hungry and thirsty after righteousness, you give, and you will be filled. So I want to accent that just a little more by going to the next scripture in John 4 and 27, where Jesus was at the well with the woman, and I won't read the whole story, but when his disciples came, in the 27th verse, and upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" And Jesus saith unto him, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." That is a very true principle today. The disciples, just going back over this story, the disciples came to him and were so surprised that he was talking with this woman. He was doing things that were counter to their culture and to their prejudices. All these things. He was going against those things. But yet, he knew something that this woman needed, and he whetted her appetite for it. He told her some things that she just said, you must be the Christ. Who else can know these things? And so then, not only did he whet her appetite, but he also whetted her appetite to go tell others and bring them to Jesus. So the whole village came to Jesus. And just because of the words of this woman, and she thought she was thirsty for water, but Jesus knew what she was really thirsty for. And Jesus met her where she had the need. But not only her, but the whole village. And the disciples, obviously, they didn't want to see this woman. They had prejudice against the woman. And here she's talking with Jesus, and they're hungry. They've been traveling, and they know Jesus is hungry. He said, "Jesus, eat some bread. We've been going all day." I'm paraphrasing here, but we know how weary Jesus probably was. But yet, Jesus said, "I have meat that you know not of. You don't know what I'm doing here. And you don't understand it because your minds are still carnal." But Jesus said, "I have meat that you know not of." And how fulfilling that was, even for the Son of God, to be able to see people hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for something more than just bread. He saw those people coming. He was moved with compassion in another place it says. Even when he was tired, in that place that it says he was moved with compassion was when he was tired. They were trying to get away from everybody, and here people came, and he was moved with compassion. It was the same way here. He was moved when he saw these people. He said, "Ah, this is what makes me excited." Yeah. this is where I get my true nourishment, is when I can fulfill your will, O God. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. If Jesus Christ said that, surely we should say that as well. That God himself wants his will revealed in our lives. That is our meat. That is our nourishment. If we could just get a taste of fulfilling the will of God in our lives by, yes, performing his works, the fruits of his Spirit, the holiness that he has for us to live in this life. But not only living a holy life, but doing his will. Those things, there is nothing else in this world that can satisfy. When we get a taste of doing the will of God and seeing that revealed and being fulfilled, and no matter how hard it is against the flesh, and being fulfilled that, yes, I've done the will of God. I have sacrificed what I wanted to do because God wanted me to do something greater. There is nothing else in life that is more fulfilling than that today. And I just think of the examples in my life I've seen of people sacrificing, of giving, where they didn't really have anything to give, and yet they gave. And what a blessing that was in my life. Sometimes when I try to think selfishly, sometimes those things come to mind of what people gave sacrificially when they didn't have it. And I think, how can I be so selfish today to focus on the external appetites that I have and not give to? The Lord provided that example for us, and we should follow in his steps. So Jesus said, everyone says there's 4 months to harvest, but he said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. You know, the Lord's going to pay us. He will pay us, like Brother Donnie Elwell says, we'll be grossly overpaid. He used the analogy of mowing a lawn and somebody giving you $1 million for mowing a lawn. Why would you give me $1 million for mowing a lawn? These are the wages that God pays when we fulfill his will, when we have an appetite to do his work, when we want his righteousness fulfilled in our lives, we will be grossly overpaid. We will gather fruit into life eternal. Yes. Do we really want life eternal? We don't get life eternal just by getting. We do it by getting and giving. Yes. He says, both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know, I don't know if this is talking about Jesus being the one sowing and we're reaping. I know there's scriptures that talk about that. Or it could be that when we all get to heaven, we're all just going to say we just had a little part to play. Some of us sowed, some of us reaped, but yet it was all glory to the Lord. And we will rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labors. It's all just part of the work of God. Yeah. It's not our work. We don't start something and do it and finish it. That's not the way the gospel is. We just have a little part to play in the gospel. And when we do that, we will rejoice with those together in heaven that have done the same thing. I've been reminded a lot lately of the frailty of life and our bodies that we think need so much food and so much sleep and all the, and yes, we do. We need to be healthy and do those things. But yet, life has a way of just, our body deteriorates and it gets to the point of death and then it dies. We get to where we can't really take any physical nourishment anymore toward the end of our life. But I've also seen people that are connected to the vine where they have practiced this appetite of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, And it's like the closer they get to the end of life, the hungrier they are, and the more it is fulfilled in their life that they are eating the right things. I've seen bodies get to the point of almost wasting away, and yet they're so full of the glory of God. They're so full of His righteousness. And that's the way it can be in each one of our lives. But we have to start now. We have to start eating those healthy things of the Word of God now to be able to go out this way, not in just shame and burned out, but go out in glory. Amen. Yes, our bodies are just burnt, spent, whatever, but yet our soul is renewed, and to the point it's just a step from here to eternity. That's the way the Lord wants it in our lives, to where we're feeding on those things that make our life more vibrant as we get older. It's like the fountain of youth that so many people have searched for over the generations and history of time. This is the fountain of youth. We can, as we get older, we get happier. We get more healthy. We get healthier. We get stronger in the Lord as we get older. It is so opposite of our flesh. Our flesh is descending, but our soul is ascending. And we can do that as we grow older through life. I look at some of the saints that are about to cross over right now, and I've seen that. I've seen that beautiful, beautiful life revealed in their lives. As they get older, their bodies get to where they just don't function anymore. Their soul is very much alive. That's the hope of the gospel. That's the hope that God gives us. So, it's a very simple message today. Hungry and thirsty, what are we feeding on? Where is our appetite today? Is our appetite for the things of God to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Righteousness revealed and fulfilled in our lives, applied in our lives? If this is the way it is, this is the way we will be when we get to heaven. But so many times, it's the other way, where when we're strong in our body, we feed on the lust of the world, when we should be feeding on the righteousness of God. I just want to remind us today that when we feel like we don't need it, when we feel like we're strong enough in our own selves, that's when we need it the most. That's when we are most vulnerable to Satan's temptations, is when we feel like we don't need God. When we feel like we don't need His food in our lives, that's when we need Him the most, because we are fixing to fall. But we don't have to fall today. We can curb our appetite. We can cut off the flesh, the appetite of the flesh, and live to the appetite of the Spirit. It's through the transaction of salvation and through giving our lives to the Lord today. So I just want to extend that invitation to us today, that we live to the Spirit. We live to His Word, His food. We take it in. And you pray for me that I'll do this, that I'll fulfill the will of God in my life, wherever we're at. I want His righteousness fulfilled and revealed in my life, to His glory and not my own. You pray for me.